Y'all ever wonder about some people? I got a... All the time. I got a cousin. Let me tell you about my cousin, what he's doing. So I question him what he's doing, but anyway. So he read an article, he claims, saying that most major accidents happen within a 20-mile radius of your home. So it worried him so much, but he called me and said, hey, I took care of that, though. He said, I sold my place and moved. So, I just threw that out there. It ain't... We've been talking a whole lot about Jesus here lately, and rightfully so, because he is our Savior, amen. Lord and Savior. So we've been establishing that. So we've been doing a walk, if you hadn't noticed, with intent. We've been going down a road about Jesus and who he really is, who he really is. And we talked a lot last week, the fulfillment of Jesus, and when he is God, and he was before creation. He's always been here. We established all of that. So we can kind of, I'm not going to say wrap it up, because we'll never wrap it up until he calls us home. But so let me just go over a few things real quick before we get to Scripture. Why did God become a man? So here's just 5 points I want you to just think about. This is really not the sermon. This is just kind of homework, I guess you can call it. Give you something to, when you get home, to study on. So, first of all, he had to satisfy the Old Testament prophecies. It was prophesied. You just read Old Testament prophecy about the coming of Jesus. That's God in the flesh. And my favorite part, one of my favorite parts, is God became man to show us who God really is. So we go through, you know, my favorite verse, John 14:6, no one comes to the Father except through me. So he had to do that in order of us. He had to bridge that gap between us and God. Also, he had to save us from our sin. That's a sermon right there. Save you from your sin. You believe that? You got to believe that. I don't say you do believe. You have to believe that. He came to save us from our sin, to conquer death. And I got, Bishop, I get with you if you are interested in doing a little deeper study. I got a bunch of scriptures to throw at you, but not today, not here in the pulpit. He also came, number 4, to sympathize with our weaknesses. He came down, and we talked a lot last week about it. He came down off his throne here in the flesh as a man to, he can not only sympathize with us, but he can empathize with us. Because whatever you go through or been through or going to go through, he can relate. He's been there. Got the T-shirt. Been there, done that, got the T-shirt, that old saying. He's done that and been there. So he really knows what you're going through. You know, we talk a lot. You know, we help each other, lean on each other through hard times. But what Brother Lowe might be going through, I might not never went through that exactly. I could be there for support, but I really hadn't been in that exact situation. But Jesus has. He came so he can empathize with you. Number one thing he came to earth for was to save us from our sin and all that, but secure our hope in heaven. He locked it down. He did it for us. And we talk a bunch. You and I couldn't do it. Never will, never can, except through him. So he came and gave us our hope. So he satisfied the Old Testament prophecy to show us the Father, to save us from our sin, sympathize with our weaknesses, and secure our hope in heaven. That's why God showed himself to us in the flesh of Jesus Christ. So there's something to chew on there. So I'm not going to dig a lot into prophecy today and stuff. I've been studying Daniel and the book of Revelation here lately, been through it before, and that'd probably be some other time. But what we are going to kind of talk about a little bit is, so there's a difference between the rapture and the second coming. So we're gonna focus today on the second coming of Christ and stuff, because we've been doing this little study walk through, like I said earlier, of who Jesus is. And this is a big part of who Jesus and what Jesus is and what he's going to do for us. He came as a savior. He done that. He did that. It was prophesied. It all come about. It all come true. It all fulfilled. And it's also been prophesied that his second coming. Now, one thing has to happen before the second coming, and so it's the rapture. He can take his church, rapture his church, and that can happen at any moment. So that's why we preach and talk and study. You got to stay ready at all times, because you do not know when he's going to come and snatch us out of here.
Amen.
You don't know when, okay? Then we're going to focus on the second coming. And I said he came as a savior the first time. The second time, he's going to be a little different role. Okay, he got his church with him, and that's us, the church. But he's going to come back, and once and for all, he's going to defeat sin, Satan, and all that good stuff, bad stuff. He's going to get rid of and take care of it. And that's what we're going to work on today. We're going to talk a little bit about his judgment, the salvation of it, the establishment of his kingdom, the second coming. All the second coming to encompass all this. His kingdom, talk about the fulfillment of prophecy for us, hope for believers, and victory over evil. That's what we want to hang our hat on. And like I said, we had a study a while back, Living Victorious. That's us, Christians. You accepted Christ. We got this coming down the line. We're victorious. He's already done it. He's already won. So we don't lack a better word, nothing to worry about. But we know it's not that simple, right? But he's done it for us. So turn to Matthew 24, verse 30. That's our key verse, what we're going to focus on. And then while you're doing that, stick a paper clip or something in Revelation chapter 19. I'm going to reference back and forth a little bit when y'all flipping to there. That's good English. Oh, I found one. I lost my pen, but I found one right here. Matthew 24:30. Then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then all the peoples of the earth will mourn when they see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this little piece of scripture you gave us today. Just open our minds to it. Let us receive and get what you want to out of the message today, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So his first coming, we came to bear sins. We talked about that. Then the rapture is going to come at any moment, any time. It's going to snatch us away. That's what rapture means, snatch away. Pull up the dead in Christ first. And stuff, and then if we're still alive when that happens, we're still living, then we go right behind them. It's all going to happen just like that. Then we got the second coming. He's going to come as a warrior and to gather the Old Testament saints and the mortal saints during the tribulation. Jesus is coming back, and that's what we're going to discuss today. We're going to talk about all this here in just a second. So just a little information, I like numbers and history and stuff like that. It just intrigues me a little bit. So the second coming is mentioned in the Bible only second to salvation. So salvation is number one, is priority. Okay? Second coming is mentioned second only to that. Jesus mentions it 21 times, his second coming. I don't know about y'all, but if you mention something a lot, that's usually pretty important.
Amen.
So he mentioned it 21 times just about his second coming. 17 books of the Old Testament mentioned the second coming through prophecy and what different things. We're not going to break it all down. Just in there. 23 books, and there's 27 of them of the New Testament. 23 of the 27 mention the second coming of Christ. So I think that's pretty important. So we're going to talk about it a little bit today. That's why. We're going to discuss it. The prediction of his return Here's the prediction of his return. Hebrews 9:28 tells us, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Okay, so he's coming again, and so to take us back with him, to get him out of this, to get us out of this mess we're in. So the prediction of his return, I just want to mention a few things. I told you I like a little history here. Enoch, y'all heard me, y'all remember him? He's the seventh from Adam. So he way back yonder. Oh, yeah. Way back yonder, a long time ago, before any of y'all was in here, believe it or not. So Jude 14:15 says, Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesies about them. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all of them of all the ungodly acts they have committed and their ungodliness and of all their defiant words. Ungodly sinners have spoken against him. So that's one prediction of it coming, the second coming. Then we're going to move up to Daniel. Y'all don't have to turn there. I just like to give a little background here. So Enoch mentioned it. Daniel says, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days, God, the only place in the Bible where he's mentioned as human form. I had to do a little bit of digging on that. The Ancient of Days. That's God mentioned the first time and only time in the Bible in that relation that Daniel mentioned. The one who never had a beginning and was led into his presence. Remember, we talked about Jesus as God too? So there's no beginning, no end on either one of them. There's no beginning, no end. Creation is us. And so they was before. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worship him. His dominion is everlasting. That's the second coming of Christ. So that's Enoch, Daniel, then Zechariah. 14:4 tells us, on that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, east of Jerusalem, and on the Mount of Olives will be split into two from east to west, forming a great valley and half of the mountain moving north and half moving south. I've read that before. I never kind of went through it. But just think about it. He's given an exact specific location where Jesus is coming. Exactly. Just go to the Mount of Olives in Israel. Mm-hmm. If you want to wait, I don't know how long you got to wait, but when he does come back, set up, that's where he's going to be. And then you say, well, that's what the Bible said. So far, everything in the Bible that's been prophesied, that's come to light up to Jesus' first coming, come to light. So there's no reason we shouldn't, there's no reason, but you have to have faith that all this is going to come to pass, just like he promised. And it's going to. So Enoch prophesied it, Daniel, Zechariah, and Jesus himself. Matthew 24, he says several times, for as lightning that comes from the east is visible to the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened, and he goes on. I'm not going to read all of it. It's up there. So Jesus himself predicts it. Then I got one more. No, I got two more. Paul. Apostle Paul. Y'all remember him? And I'm going to get to the sermon in a minute. I'm just trying to build up. I'm just trying to put some meat on the bone here. So even Paul mentioned, and give relief to you who are troubled, and to us as well. This is 1 Thessalonians 1:7-8. Sorry. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. So there you go. You got Paul. Then finally, this is my last example of him coming, his second coming, the angels themselves. Acts chapter 1, verses 10 through 11. They were looking intently up into the sky. This is when Jesus ascended back to heaven. You remember that story? Go back and read chapter 1, the day of Pentecost, when he went back, well, it was shortly after that. And he was going when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go to heaven, into heaven. And he told them this. He told the disciples his whole time here. I'm going to go. We talked about that last week. And so remember, we had a couple of disciples questioning him. Well, where are you going? He told them where he was going. And he went where he told them he was going. Amen. And then he's going to come back like he told them he was going to come back. The angels had to reinforce it to him that he's going to come back. But I just want to lay that out, just those few examples of that it's going to come. And there's your witnesses that said they're going to come. We can talk a little bit about the place. We already did. The place of his return, that was Zechariah. So we know where he's coming to when he comes back. So what do we need to do? That's why I told you to go to chapter 19 of Revelation, if y'all want to flip through there. So the preparation of his return. Today is the day of salvation. Right now, if you hadn't received Jesus, your Lord and Savior, that's the first step you got to do. If you want to be a part of his second coming, the rapture. Because let me tell you the other part is, if you don't choose to do that, the other place is chosen for you.
Amen.
There's no sense even sugarcoating it. If you do not accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you're not going to be part of that. You're going to be part of that judgment, and you're going to be cast into hell forever.
Amen.
With Satan and his followers. Amen. Bottom line, no way around it. And so you had to make a choice. We talk about choice a lot. It all boils down to you, not your mama, not your daddy, not your grandma, not because you did good things. You can't do good enough things.
Come on.
So you have to make that personal choice with your Lord and Savior.
That's right.
And accept him.
Come on.
Bottom line. And then you start preparing for what's to come.
Amen.
And you got to have, that's where your faith comes in. You got to have this faith because we don't see these things happening yet. It's in the future. But everything that was in the future to the Old Testament people come to light. They might not have seen it in their lifetime, but it came along. At some point, each and every one of us, if you're ready or not, you're going to face Jesus Christ. And you're going to answer to what you did or did not do. Revelation 19:11 tells us, I saw heaven open. This is John talking. There before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice, he judges and wages war. Jesus is coming back, and he's not going to be this meek man that we got a picture of holding the lamb. He's coming back. He's a warrior. He's going to take care of business. And so he has a purpose, and he's going to fulfill that purpose. Revelation 19:13, he's dressed in a robe dripped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. Faithful and True is known only to God, indicates his intimacy and oneness with the Father, his eternal existence. The Faithful and True. When Jesus walked this earth the first time, he stayed connected to his Father and did his Father's will 100% of the time. And you say, how do you walk this earth perfect? Well, you do it in the will of the Father.
Amen.
That's how you do it.
Come on.
And the will of the Father is, he gave you his Son. Here's a glimpse of me through my Son. This is how you should carry yourself. And we talk a bunch. Just because you say you're a Christian, that don't mean you're a Christian. So you got to be ready, and you got to do what God tells you to do. Obedience, first you got to make the choice, and then you got to obey. You got to do what he tells you to do.
Yeah.
the Word of God, when the Word become flesh. I'm referring back to John 1:14. I'm talking about, I'd like to keep that comparison of God is, Jesus is God. And then he became flesh. And we discussed that in the past in other sermons. But we got to remember, he is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God, is God. And, you know, so it's there in writing for us. Then he said, I saw the beast, Revelation 19:19, the beast and the king of the earth and their armies gathered together to wage war against a rider on the horse. So let me tell you what Satan likes to do. He likes to imitate a lot of what God does and stuff. He's a little tricky. You know, we got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So that's the Trinity. That's the Holy Trinity that we reference to. Satan, the beast, and the false prophet. Okay, so that's his unholy Trinity. So he's just trying to mimic what God does and tries to trick people into what he's doing. Jesus sees right through that. And we as Christians, we need to line up with Christ so we can see through that. And so notice, I'm not saying you got to do it. You got to line up with Christ so you can do it. Amen. You have to have Christ. Period. You can't do it by yourself. So we got to be careful. One of the purposes of the return is coming out, Revelation 19:15, coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. That's Psalms 2:8. And if it doesn't get good here in a minute, what he's going to take care of. We got victory. We already done it. He's already won. Satan knows he's defeated. I don't know if y'all know that. He knows he's defeated. Jesus already did it. But he's not going to give up. He's going to stay in there. And then finally, when the end time comes, second coming, that's when he's going to step in and take care of it. The penalty of the return. So here's, if you don't have Christ, this is what's going to happen at the end. But the beast was captured, and with it the false prophet, who had performed the signs of his behalf. With these signs he had deluded those who had received the mark of the beast and worshiped its image. The two of them were thrown alive. You catch that? Thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. The rest were killed with the sword coming out of the mouth of the rider, thus as those who hadn't received Christ or never did receive Christ, and all the birds gorged themselves on their flesh. In Revelation 20:10, and the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. So that's on our side. If you're a Christian, you've got Christ. That's a good thing for us, for everybody. It's over, taking care of it. But if you don't have Christ, then you could be joining them in a place called hell. That's real. You can be thrown alive. And I ain't trying to scare you or nothing like that. But instead of that, what Brother Glenn used to say, that you know, just don't get fire insurance because you might not be good enough policy. I don't know. So. Your good enough policy is having that personal relationship with Christ. Amen. On a daily walk with him. Amen. You got to have him to make sure that you're not going to go to that place where Satan and them are going to be. It's designed for Satan and his followers, right. Not for us. Amen. We need to stay out of there. You better stay out of there because it's forever. You're forever alive and you're never going to die. Amen. And just suffering. And the only reason I brought this up about Jesus today, I know it's a little short deal, but that's okay. Got to the point. And so God laid it on my heart because I had something else figured out, but this is what God had figured out. And so we've been talking about Jesus and all his attributes, whatever. We don't talk enough about his second coming. and stuff. I heard very few sermons over my years of being in church on the second coming of Christ. And it's complicated. A lot of people shy from it because it's hard to understand. And I get it. It is. And I probably stumbled over some of this. But the point is, he is coming.
Amen.
He is coming back.
Amen.
And you and I, we got to be ready. And then while we're here waiting, just don't sit in limbo waiting on him. I got it made. Okay? You might have it made. But what he tells us to do is to get many as we can to be on that same ride with us. And that's what our purpose is, what we need to do. And I'm going to tell you, if you're not there, if you don't have Christ, there's no better day than to do it right now.
Amen.
So as you stand, we're going to say a prayer. We're going to have a word of a song of invitation. Don't waste no more time, because I don't know how much time you got or I got. And so if you don't have Christ, that's our main focus today is salvation. If you ain't on that salvation bandwagon, you need to come get some and get on it. And there's no better time. If you need to pray, the altar is always open. But let's focus on salvation. If you need it, come on up here. You pray where you're at. Whatever you need to do, you get right with God. And so with your eyes closed, your head bowed, let's give it to God.